Hello. Today we're dropping a whopping, try saying that after no sleep, 3 episodes of The Sleep Mums. This isn't because we're super productive, although we are pretty chuffed to have got them done. It's because we want to talk about feeding and the different ways of feeding and how that can impact sleep. And as we always say, we are all different. So you might choose to listen to them all, but we wanted to give you the chance to listen to what you need, whether that's 1, 2, or all 3 of them. Our feelings about feeding can be super complex. So wherever you're at, whatever stage you're at, and whatever you're doing, we are here to help you through some of those things. I'm Kat Cubey, broadcaster, podcaster, and tea Jenny, and this is Sarah Carpenter, paediatric sleep consultant, child expert, and Java Joe. We've all got a tipple. I actually nearly said nipple there.
I mean, I've got those too.
Yeah. Coffee and nipples. This is going to be a great podcast. Together, we are the Sleep Mums. In this episode, we're going to be talking about breastfeeding, some hot tips, hopefully not hot nips, and bust some myths. We'll also talk about how you can maximise sleep through your feeds. So Sarah, let's start at the beginning with expectations. Like lots of folk, and partly probably because of the antenatal class that I took, I thought breastfeeding was super natural and basically so easy a baby could do it. It was quite a shock when I found out it was quite hard, and I really encountered a lot of difficulties along the way with my daughter. However, it was pretty straightforward with my son. So as we often say, there is never just one way, even within a family. But that can mean that it's really difficult for there to be realistic expectations because lots of people have different journeys into breastfeeding. So let's talk about expectations.
Yeah, I think that's so important to discuss because it really can be hard. And even when it's flowing and effectively working, the first few weeks can just be so up and down. So I think the main expectations are, you know, what's it like?
Well, what is it like?
Yeah, my honest opinion of my first experience. When my firstborn latched on for the first time, I remember just being like, oh my God, this is amazing. It works. He knows what he's doing. And then fast forward 48 hours, oh my God, get him off me. It's painful.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's different for everyone. It's also different with every baby. And every feed can be different. I think that's the key thing. You know, you could have an amazing feed and then you could have a really, really bad feed.
Yeah.
How long does it take? How long's a piece of string? It's, you know, very dependent on baby. It's dependent on you. And it depends on, you know, really your situation. Like, it's just a bit of everything, isn't it?
But I think the thing with how long it takes is that you know, some babies are super fast, or some babies and mothers, the combo, because it's a bit of a dance, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can have a full feed in 5-10 minutes. And other babies feed for a really long time, you know, 30 plus minutes. I know you would probably say that you don't think it should go much over 30 minutes for feed. But, you know, I was feeding my daughter for hours and hours. I had absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. How long was appropriate, you know, and obviously I'm sure we'll talk about it at times, but you know, she had tongue tie and that clearly gave me different issues, but still I honestly was like spending my entire day feeding, and I still actually don't know how unusual that is.
Well, that's the thing, it's not that it's unusual, and you know, there would have been an element of that working for you guys at the time, whether that was because of the tongue tie or other issues, you know, that's how you survived those few weeks that you were in. And then you got to the point where actually you weren't surviving that sort of feeding schedule and things had to change, and they changed for the better for everybody. And yes, okay, there are guidelines on how long you should feed or how long we would recommend you feed, but they're not hard and fast. You know, we're never going to come in and say you should definitely be taking that baby off at this point. You know, it's very much about the baby. It's more looking for the signs, the feeding signs and the feeding cues, and how effectively they're feeding rather than giving a time limit. So yeah, and again, there's theories behind boys and girls as well. You know, a lot of boys will feed for longer than girls and things like that. I mean, I know my two boys were like clockwork, 30 minutes on each side. Emily came along and I was trying to ram my boob into her mouth because I was like, you've only had 7 minutes. You need more. You need your 30 minutes on each side. And she was never going to take that. You know, that just wasn't what she needed.
I'm going to bust that because Indy was like forever feeder and Roar was like super speedy.
Yeah, but Indy did have tongue tie.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's differences, and that's the key thing.
But how do you manage those expectations in terms of, you know, you just don't know what you're getting yourself in for, I think. So how do you manage that? Because I actually think talking about expectations is a really, would be a really positive way of actually helping people through the initial stages of breastfeeding too.
Yeah, I think it's more, rather than talking about the expectations themselves, it's reassuring people that, you know, you almost shouldn't have expectations, mm-hmm. but if you do, going through each one as an individual and kind of battling that out, it is hard. You have so many expectations, even just in how long you plan on doing it for, and then it might all go tits up on day one, and that's okay. So
yeah,
you know,
or the opposite, which kind of, you know, I sort of was with Indy, given how difficult it was, I was like, if we make it to 6 months, I will be amazed. And, you know, I was still feeding her at 16, 17 months. And I never thought I would feed her that long. Not because I had any qualms about it. I just thought that we weren't going to be able to do it.
Yeah. So I think in that respect, you know, you don't want to go in with any expectations with regards to how long you're going to do it. But also saying that to somebody who's pregnant, it doesn't make any sense to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as well, we're talking about personal expectations, but there is a ton of expectations of people around you, and those can be both positive and negative. And also, like, there can feel like there's a lot of pressure, and that can be really, really hard to juggle, along with trying to juggle the baby in your arms as well.
Yeah, it definitely can. And, you know, you can put a lot of pressure on yourself just by listening to some comments from family members or friends, and suddenly you feel like you've got to meet that expectation when actually you don't, because you're in a different position and you have to really look after yourself. But yeah, the expectations on those around us, I think as mums especially, we are so guilty when we're breastfeeding of thinking we have to do it all. And actually, yes, obviously you're the only one that's got boobs. You have to do that part of it. But the people around you can still be helpful. You know, they can provide you with the water and snacks when you're feeding, and they can take the baby. And when you're not alone, but you can build yourself into a frenzy of thinking that you are when you're feeding.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things you'd sort of take the onus of, I mean, you know, often that is the case. You have a main carer anyway, takes the larger responsibility, you know, whether that's the mum or the dad, in whatever circumstances, or a guardian, there will usually be a main carer. And that responsibility can feel really big, because you do sort of feel like you should be doing all the things. And that's definitely, I think, exacerbated when you're breastfeeding, because, you know, you are everything for that baby. And sometimes, like, I would say from my personal experience, like adding in hormones and things, it was something that I did feel quite proud of, even though it was hard. But I also became kind of almost like protective over, like, I couldn't bear to share it, which sounds horrible, but actually it's one of the things I look back on and feel a bit bad about in some ways, that, you know, I didn't let other people help. So, you know, that I feel bad on that level, but also the fact that I rinsed myself by not letting other people help.
Yeah. And I think that is something that, you know, at different times in our parenting journey, we're all very guilty of, but I do think it's an easy sort of hole to fall down with breastfeeding.
Yeah. I think also talking about expectations, there is that thing, and I know lots of people, you know, my pals would say the same, that there is that feeling that as soon as baby is crying, it's like, well, can you not just feed them? And I think that's true however you're feeding, but it's particularly true when you sort of have something on tap, so to speak. And those expectations societal expectations, I guess, as well, or maybe it's not expectations, like proper understanding of breastfeeding kind of don't exist, you know, in terms of like how it all works. I mean, it still does kind of blow my mind. So you can understand why people don't necessarily have a full kind of like encyclopedic knowledge of breastfeeding.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's ever going to have that, are they? Because it's so different for everyone.
Yeah. It can be heavy carrying all of those expectations, not just of your own, as we've mentioned, but also the people around you. And people can have very intense feelings about breastfeeding. Perhaps because it can be really hard, people have these feelings about it and what others should do. And I sort of think sometimes that can do a bit of a disservice to breastfeeding. Next, though, let's talk about some truths, because I think they can probably also help with those expectations.
Wow. I mean, we could probably do a whole episode on breastfeeding truths, but we will try and keep this one short and make it as palatable as possible. So, first of all, the first milk or the colostrum, you know, it's tiny, tiny amounts that babies are taking on. So you think that, you know, you're piling all this colostrum into them, and actually, you know, you're talking about teaspoonfuls rather than gallons. And I think that's quite difficult for people to get their head around. So it's just, you know, being realistic about how small their tummies are and how much they actually need at that stage. So yeah,
it's quite hard to get out as well, because it is thicker, right? So it's like, I mean, obviously that's before your milk proper kind of comes in. But I think that can be quite stressful as well, because one of the sort of overriding anxieties, I think, often with breastfeeding is you worry about how much your baby is getting. And I think that first bit with the colostrum can sort of almost starts that journey, because you're like, oh my God, there's not enough.
Yeah, definitely. You feel like you're almost failing at the first hurdle when you're not, you're providing, but because it's not what you expected, it feels like a difficult sort of process.
And it looks so different from the bottles that babies get at the same time. And I think that, you know, what we kind of want to get away from is this feeling of comparison, because we are all in it together. But you can't help but do that when you look at babies taking up, you know, say a fairly full bottle, and you think, there's barely, you know, as you said, a teaspoonful here. For me.
Definitely. And it is. It's so important to try not to compare, but it is so difficult not to when you're seeing that, especially, you know, if you're sitting in a ward in the hospital having just had your baby and you're sitting in one bed breastfeeding and someone's in the next bed giving a bottle, then it can be
really for everyone though, because the bottle feeding mama might have a bunch of feelings about that as well. I think that dealing with colostrum and the amount kind of leads us on really naturally as well to how long it actually takes for your proper milk to come in. We've talked about it just briefly there, but it took mine a really long time. You know, they say 3 to 4 days, but I was way closer to like a week, 8 days. And I thought there was something wrong with me.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say that in my experiences with clients, I would say there's a window of about 3 to 10 days of the milk coming in. And it can be very dependent on your mood. It can be dependent on the type of delivery you've had. You know, there's lots of reasons why it might take a little bit longer. And for some people, if they have found that their milk has actually flowed during the end of the pregnancy, you know, some people can find that even just when they're having a shower, their letdown will happen before they've had the baby. And so then they generally tend to find that the milk comes in a lot quicker once they've had their baby. So there's, again, lots of factors as to why.
Presumably with subsequent births as well, though that I guess that also depends on deliveries and that's not necessarily a given.
No. I mean, in my experience, Emily's was the one that took the longest to come in, and that was because of the type of delivery that I'd had. So it was just a little bit more traumatic on me and caused my milk to delay a little bit.
Talking of trauma, I think the other truth we should touch on is the pain of feeding, because I had no idea what that was going to be like when I had cracked and bleeding nipples and thought, whoa, is this it?
I think as well, alongside the kind of pain of it, is what it does to your nipples.
Uh-huh, yeah. I have one pointing in a very weird direction these days. I've got like boss-eyed nipples. Sorry, yeah. You probably can't say that.
I remember, God, it must have been quite early on with Haz, and Janie resigned. And she saw me feed and she never said anything. And then she went away. And then 2 days later, she was like, oh my God, Sarah, I'm totally traumatized by that feed. I saw your nipples. Are they ever going to look the same again?
This is Sarah's sister, by the way. You can always count on your sister to say something that's probably going to scar you for life.
Exactly. So yeah, people don't appreciate that actually, you know, when your milk is coming in and you're getting the letdown, your nipples can change shape just for during the feed. They're not necessarily change shape for.
And also, just as a wee aside, that the milk comes out of like five or six different points. It's not just a single, like in my head, certainly before I fed, I always thought it was just like one squirty bit, like, I don't know, having a pee or something. But that can also impact if you've got a wee bit that comes out the side.
Yeah, I mean, you can literally, if you are trying to, you know, sort baby out and you've just taken them off for a second, but your flow hasn't stopped, you could be firing milk all over everyone. So
can I just say how sexy is this episode? You now know about me and Sarah's nipples.
But yeah, back to the pain factor. It is, or it can be sore. You know, some people do have a journey with no pain at all, but there is a huge chance that you are going to experience pain, not just in your nipples, but in your entire breast as you get your leg down. And then you've also got the pain of your uterus contracting as well.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a big one that doesn't really get spoken about.
No one talks about it at all. And it is sore.
Yeah. So every feed your uterus is sort of contracting again. I mean, which is a benefit. But it's painful.
But wow, it hurts.
And I think, I mean, I pretty much nearly brought shares in lotion in the Lancinot, and then you introduced me to the Silveretta nipple cups with Roar, and they were an absolute godsend. They are expensive, but they really, really helped to heal. I couldn't believe it, actually. You know, some people do experience pain during letdown or a bunch of different feelings. I know you can have an aversion to letdown too, that you kind of get weird feelings, but you can also obviously have that lovely feeling. You know, I think it's so important as well, whilst we talk about all the tough stuff, and I think it's really important to bring that to light, because the more people are aware of that, the less of a shock it might be, but also obviously all the loveliness that goes along with it too.
Yeah, and it can be, you know, it can be so lovely. And, you know, that's why people who have more than one child go back and do it again. Because, you know,
exactly.
The pain at the beginning, you do forget. So, yeah, and there is nothing nicer at times than that sort of snuggly, cuddly feeling that you get from it. So
The other truth we should probably just touch on is cluster feeding, because that was a bit of a shocker for me, because I didn't really understand either. You know, I'd read about it, but I was basically cluster feeding from sort of 5-6 o'clock in the evening till 11 o'clock, like barely giving myself a breath, which is not really ideal. So what we would sort of talk about is planned cluster feeding. So let's just chat through that a wee bit.
Yeah, so you do want to be a little bit careful that you're not just running yourself into the ground with the cluster feeding and letting the baby just be on you all the time. Because if the feeding isn't active feeding and beneficial feeding, then they are going to be more likely to get wind. They're going to be overtired too, because they're not actually getting into
hard work.
Sleep, exactly. They're working hard too. Feed and you know, if your supply is a little bit down at that point because it's the evening and you're tired, then they really are just using you as a dummy, and you want to avoid that.
That's so much. I mean, obviously I didn't have a great supply and she didn't have a great latch for the reasons that I've said, and so I think we just got into this awful kind of cycle where she was just exhausted and I was exhausted, and I didn't, you know, like it took, obviously we got through it all, but I mean, with a whole load of hindsight, that was definitely not ideal for either of us. But it's really hard to know what you shouldn't be doing. You know, obviously there is support out there and there are lactation consultants who are amazing, and I did end up speaking to one who was absolute Wonder Woman, but at the same time, you are there on your own every single night, and certainly in the early stages, being like, what am I meant to be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be really hard because, you know, like you said earlier, the natural sort of solution to everything is, oh, just pop them back on the boob.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's what you feel like you're doing, then you don't really see the negatives of that.
Yeah, totally. I think these are all important to chat through, but as I've sort of mentioned, some other truths are that breastfeeding can be really enjoyable. And even when it's tough at the start, you and your baby can work through those things and it can become second nature quite quickly. And it's super handy as well. There have been so many occasions where I was glad I could whap a boob out, particularly flying in the plane. Remember that? I do remember in the early days never imagining I would be a boob whapper, though, as I wrapped me and my baby up in muslins and feeding covers because I was super, super conscious about flashing anything. And obviously, boob whapping is always optional.
It definitely is. I think, you know, for some people, they really do just want to stay covered and that's totally fine. And for others, they do just find it easier to get it all out. And
I think I did at the start and then I just got too tired to care.
Yeah, exactly. I remember like hiding in the back of the car because it had darker windows in the front of the car and things like that. Yeah. And then by the time Emily came along, I think I was just like,
I did answer the door with my boot bite, so that was an exciting day for my postman. Next, we should talk about the guilt. And this is one of those complex feelings. We know parent guilt can be strong. And if you've not listened to our episode on that, you absolutely should. But guilt when it comes to breastfeeding is pretty confusing too. I fed my daughter through her tongue tie, pumped around the clock, and she still lost weight. And I still feel guilty about that. But I also felt guilty about formula, not because I must add there is anything wrong with using formula, but honestly, I was not very rational about it all. And so I think those feelings of guilt are so complex, so multi-layered, and as I've said, clearly hormonal. But how do you get away from those feelings of guilt, Sarah?
You don't really get away from the feelings of guilt. You know, you're going to have guilt about breastfeeding. You're going to have guilt about not breastfeeding. You're going to have guilt about combination feeding. It's just going to be, you know, I suppose eventually, yes, you will make peace with any of the things that you felt guilty about in the same way that you have to a certain extent. But, you know, you are, it's part of being mum.
Parent, yeah. I think that's why it can get quite cliquey though, and folk get super entrenched in whatever they are doing, because as parents, we always want to feel like we're making the best decision for our baby, but it's never as simple as that. But I think that whole thing around judgment, that is such a negative thing, because you never know what someone's backstory is. Or any of the reasons, as you know, we are most likely to get messages about some element of feeding, and often it can be negative. And it just really bothers me that we're not just more open to supporting parents, full stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, it's a shame. And, you know, hopefully over time that will change, but
I guess you might also feel guilt, like we're saying at the beginning, about how much baby is or isn't getting.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, again, you do sort of, because it's something that you can't see, and if you feel like your baby is unsettled between feeds, then you can become quite obsessed with that and feel like, you know, you're losing control of what they're getting. And like you said, with weight gain as well, you know, you can. I think we've all been there.
Oh, God, so stressful.
Absolutely, you know. And it's a lot of the times babies will level out with their weight, but you panic when that happens too.
I would always be like, please don't do a poo before the midwife comes or the health visitor comes. Please don't do a poo. And then obviously when they did arrive with their scales, and he'd be like, well, they've just done a poo. And you know that that's going to be like a percentile off or something.
Yeah, it's funny the things that you become quite obsessed with.
Whereas before I weigh myself, I always try and do a poo. sorry, TMI.
Yeah, also you might feel a lot of guilt if you've got other children. But, you know, you start to feel guilty about how much time you're spending with the baby, trying to feed, and the other children are running around, and they, you know, they are putting a little bit of pressure on you as well, that actually, you know, you're spending all this time with them. Yeah. So there's lots of things that you can start to feel guilty about.
How do you resolve all that? I mean, I guess it's not straightforward, but knowing it's normal perhaps to feel those feelings is maybe the first step.
Yeah, I think so. And just talking it through and trying to feel strong in terms of ignoring other people's opinions, and know that often the opinions say more about them than they do about you. But when you're in the thick of it, that can be really hard to get your head around.
Absolutely. Next, it's really important we talk about how breastfeeding can maximise sleep. As we've talked about, food or fuel, i.e. milk, and sleep go hand in hand. Both are needs that baby needs lots of. So can breastfeeding work for you when it comes to sleep?
Absolutely, 100% can. I mean, the main thing is with breastfeeding that you're doing good full feeds. So, you know, as we've talked about in previous episodes, you want to be offering the same side two or three times and winding in between those offerings and then switching sides. You can massage your breast to ensure that the milk is flowing down, you know, so that you're really helping baby as well. You can change feeding positions. For some babies, you know, they like to start in one position, and then when they're starting to get sleepy, you might need to switch positions. Some babies, you just need to have them stripped off completely butt naked to make them get really into the feed and take a full feed or be active feeding. But that is the key thing, is that you're all, every latch, you're looking for the active feeding signs. And then when they're starting to get dopey and a bit sleepy and they're not really actively feed in, take them off, give them a little wriggle and pop them back on.
I think it's hard when you're tired to not let that happen as well, like, and to be conscious of it. I mean, I remember, you know, healthcare professionals saying, you know, make sure they're swallowing, make sure. I was like, I have, cannot see whether my baby is swallowing. I find it so hard to, like, I know that's crazy, and some babies it's maybe more obvious, but I really struggled to work out if my latch was good enough, maybe because it wasn't.
Well, I think as well it depends on the position. You know, some positions it's really easy to see the swallow, and other positions it's not. So, and like you say, you know, some babies it's really obvious, other babies it's not. So yeah, that is a hard one. The sort of key things are, you know, really giving them a shiggle and a wriggle just to make sure that they're, you know, semi-awake, and then just continually sort of annoying them a little bit when you're feeding so that they're not getting sleepy.
Yeah, like playing with their hands, playing feet, giving them a bit of a tickle. Yeah. I think the full feeds thing, because it's such an important thing, but it is, you do feel a bit like a boob pusher. Like, you know, all that offering of the first side, that surprises people quite a lot, because we kind of have this idea, it's like, oh, one there and one there. And also, there's quite a lot of different information about this kind of stuff, and you will often find, even, you know, within a couple of different healthcare professionals, they will recommend different ways. And in fact, you know, absolutely someone, you know, a health visitor with the right intentions, I'm sure, suggested I just feed off one side, which I know sometimes does work for some people, but it was probably the worst thing for me in my situation. And it's really hard to kind of resolve all of that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you have to do what's right for you, obviously. And yes, you've got,
but you don't know. Like, that's what I mean. Like, and there's all this information.
When you don't know, and when you're just reading and absorbing everything, you'll find that you do some things that do work, some things that don't work. And it's, I suppose it is just having that confidence that, you know, if you've done something because somebody's told you, but it doesn't feel right, it's having the confidence to change it and try something else. And I think for a lot of people, that's the hard part. It's, you're so all consumed and tired that you can't see the wood for the trees.
And hormonal and tied up in it all. And you don't, you just like, you know, obviously both of us are passionate about sleep, but I'm also passionate about feeding, because I know so many people who have had difficult journeys, whatever kind of way they are feeding. And I would just love to be able to hold the hands of of all the parents going through this, because it is tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Definitely.
If we're talking about full feeds, I know we've just touched on it, but let's go into a wee bit more detail about wind, because that's always a bit of a surprising one as well.
Yeah, quite often when you're breastfeeding, you will be told that you don't need to wind. That is definitely a myth. Yeah. So, you know, you do need to wind. It's really important. Even if baby doesn't bring up a burp, it will actually sort of jolly them along and wake them up a little bit before you offer it again. There's so many different winding positions and ways that you can try. So we have got videos on the
socials, yeah,
social media pages, and on the website, have we?
Actually, I don't think it is on the website, so no. My bad.
But it's all over social media. But yeah, it is like every single time they come off, wind, before you're offering again. And then at the end of the feed, wind as well. So that you make sure that that is not part of the reason why they're uncomfortable and not going to sleep. But also wind and, you know, if they bring up a burp, then you've got more space for more milk.
More milk, yeah.
So that's
yeah.
really why it's so key. You want that full feed going in.
So the combination basically of full feeds and decent winding is then what helps you use milk and breastfeeding to maximize sleep. Because if baby is content and had a really good feed and hopefully doesn't have any wind, then they're going to sleep mm-hmm. better.
Yep, definitely.
And finally, you know, we love to bust, I'm full of the puns in this episode, some myths. So let's chat through the boobs of breastfeeding. You have mentioned, obviously, not needing to wind. That is a big one. But what is the really massive one, the massive myth?
The biggest one is that a breastfed baby won't sleep through the night.
Yeah.
That is just not the case at all. You know, babies will sleep through either when they're naturally ready or when you're ready and you engineer things slightly and, you know,
help them
get to that point where they're sleeping through. But, you know, and not to come back to personal situations, but my big number one boy slept through really early on breast milk. So, and then number two didn't. So, you know,
I think it also does a disservice to parents who are feeding in different ways as well, because then they can feel like, oh, I'm up through the night and they're meant to be sleeping. Mm-hmm. So as with any of these things, judgment ain't good.
Exactly.
Another one we mentioned right at the start is how easy it's meant to be, which I think is an important one to kind of bust, because, you know, I think if you're going into it knowing that it might be difficult, you might feel differently about it when it is hard.
I think so. I think it's not as big a shock, isn't it? You know, if you're prepared for the fact that it might not look or feel like it does on the pictures and in the movies, then you're going to be a little bit more realistic about it when you do it and it's maybe a bit uncomfortable, a bit sore, and you're feeling a bit low and miserable about it all.
I think messaging is changing and is getting better with all of that stuff. Yeah. Right. You've got two others.
I have. So another one is everyone leaks. No, they don't. So you don't need to rush out and buy hundreds and thousands of breast pads.
I did. And I totally didn't leak. I, again, thought there was something massively wrong with me.
Nope. Just everyone's different. And that can change between babies as well, you know. And it doesn't mean that that's anything to do with the way your baby's feeding. It's just your hormones and how you've changed. So don't worry if you don't leak. And this is one of my favorite ones. The bigger boobs you have, the more milk you have. Bullshit.
Oh, we got a swear out of Sarah. That means she really wants to bust this one.
I hate that one. Partly because I've got such small boobs, I'm worried about not being able to feed my baby.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, it's horrible. It's a horrible sort of, you know, puts a lot of pressure on people. And then it also puts pressure on people with bigger boobs because they feel like they're failing if they haven't got hunters of milk. But actually, it's got nothing to do with your boob size.
What does it have to do with? Sorry.
I thought we weren't going off topic here.
Okay, sorry. I just was wondering, is it something to do with like the gaps in between. I don't know. I feel like I did know at one point.
It is hormones. It does. It comes down to hormones and milk. The milk right. producing hormones. So it's not, you know, it's got nothing to do with space or anything, but it can, you know, your diet affects it massively.
Yeah. When I was pumping like 8 to 10 times a day after Indy's tongue tie was diagnosed, I was like nailing porridge and like oat bars. What else was a galactagogue or something? I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. There's some other things that there's like a tea in as well. Yeah,
there's teas, there's
biscuits,
cookies.
Yeah,
there's all sorts. Oh. But yeah, and again, you know, some things will work for some people and other things just won't.
So that was our first drop on breastfeeding. You can have a baby that sleeps well and is breastfed. In the beginning, breastfeeding babies will nurse often at night to encourage your supply and because their tummies are really small, which can make a bit of a difference with formula-fed babies in those early days. But once your milk comes in, you will see a change in babies' feeds. They'll begin to take bigger feeds and manage to stretch longer between them. We are all different and our babies are all different, and some will feed for 5 minutes, others for 30 minutes or more. The most important thing when it comes to breastfeeding though is that baby is largely content. You know, they can be a bit cranky, these babies, but you will know your own. Largely content until their next feed. If not, think about how you're feeding, your winding techniques. Obviously, we talked about making sure baby's having full feeds, and perhaps maybe keep a diary to see if there's anything else going on. Yeah. As ever, we hope this helped. We want to open up the conversation around feeding and get away from a feeling of sides. Oh God, I'm full of the boob puns. I actually literally gave my boobs a squeeze.
I was just going to comment on that and then I was like, no, I'll leave her.
If you've not listened to our other podcasts about milk, weaning and night feeds, do check them out. Come find us on social media at The Sleep Mums, and please leave us a review and subscribe to the podcast. It literally takes a second. You could actually do it right now and see how wonderful we are, obviously. Please. Thank you in advance. It really means a lot to us. Look after yourselves and sleep soon.